about Michelle, y'all like talking about a bunch of people.
Michelle Cole.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yes, okay, okay. Yes, that's been a little bit of a
Yes.
Yeah. You know, she died in prison.
I did not know that.
She wore the coat that she got from the prison.
I did not know that.
Miss Curry, how you doing today?
Not too well.
That was a long
How are you?
I'm good. Go step on back and we'll talk, okay?
All right.
You sir?
Mr. Morris.
Yes, sir.
First name.
Yeah, who are you?
Jeff, you're here with me, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Who are you?
That's very strange. Why are you here?
If you don't mind, just take your sunglasses off when we meet. I appreciate that.
I'll keep them on.
Okay, well, I prefer to take sunglasses off. We're sitting here talking. Can you do that?
Not today, sir.
You can't take your sunglasses off?
I think that it's reasonable for me to maintain the appearance that I choose.
Okay. I'm just trying to talk to you and look you in the eye.
I see. I appreciate it. It's been a request of mine for a very long time.
A what?
It's been a request of mine for a very long time.
Yes, sir. We've met several times.
Chase, and if you want this to be a good one, you have a lot of questions. So we need to stick to the basics. And you've got 2 hours.
I don't know.
Mr. Tindall.
I'm not sure we can meet for 2 hours, but how long? Go ahead and ask us questions and we'll see what we can discuss, sir.
Mr. Morrison, who is he?
He's a deputy with the sheriff's office.
Right.
Yep.
Mr. Tindall, you told me that there is nobody in the Rose Hill Police Department that is currently in service that was there at the time that the incident with me happened. Is that true?
Yes, sir, if you got questions, I'm here for a meeting.
I'm asking.
You direct everything to him, I'm just here.
I'm asking the questions.
I'm not aware of the employment status of Rose Hill Police Department officers.
Okay, so your attendance in this meeting is only to just be present but not participate.
Right.
So, as far as my safety is concerned, you do have an intent to ensure that on my way out of here and back to Rose Hill, correct?
Once you leave out of here.
I really would request that be, you know, something that, you know, is possible with my being here in regards to, you know, a pretty necessary accommodation for the situation.
So what specifically are you asking for?
Okay,
so
you are.
The DA's office can't provide security for you.
I'm not requesting security.
If there's something in particular you're requesting, what are you requesting, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm requesting that if Chief Tindall is here and only present, but for any other reason than his own, I would just make the request that if it's possible, he at least escort me out of this building and back to Rose Hill to my residence at this time.
Okay. Well, that's
the chief. Is that possible?
The chief, I can't determine what the chief does. Chief doesn't work for the DA's office. You've made that request, that's up to him.
And you're unwilling to do that?
You stay in the county, sir. That would have to be, I don't have no jurisdiction inside the county. All right, the only jurisdiction I have is inside the town, so therefore you would have to get up to the sheriff's office to see if they're willing to do that. I can get you out of here and walk you
to
the
car. So why did you invite Mr. Tindall here? If he was not going to participate.
The Rose Hill Police Department, sir.
Right, but if he wasn't
You actually requested him to be here, so.
Because
I just let him know.
You informed me that there was going to be somebody from the Rose Hill Police Department at our meeting.
Correct.
So I requested that if there was going to be one from the department, it would be Mr. Tindall.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with Mr. Morrison.
Okay, he's from the sheriff's office.
Right, okay. Okay. That makes sense now. That makes sense. Okay, cool.
So, do you have any questions about anything, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Is there any information that you can at least copy today and give to me? I do have a civil case against Mr. Herring, as you know, and you're looking to have him plea out on the 29th, correct?
Well, when I say looking to, sir, or when you say that, I should say,
right.
This is something that we've discussed. Mm-hmm. We've discussed the strengths and the weaknesses of the case,
mm-hmm.
and we believe this is an appropriate disposition. We understand you don't agree, right. Even though you did agree with it. You and your grandmother agreed to it after mm-hmm. we met.
Under the circumstances of the time, you told me, under those circumstances at the time that you did tell me about the plea deal, certain things that I had believed prior to walking into that meeting with you, like, for the example, my father calling me, as I stated in the email to you, that Mr. Herring was either a felon or on probation at the time that he tried to kill me.
I don't know what your father told you, sir. I can't. That's a conversation between you and him.
Right, I understand that. But as I was in the meeting with you, I made that clear to you that I was under the impression that he was already under some sort of, sanctions by you guys, or he had been in some trouble, is what I was told.
Okay.
So knowing that, when you told me that the sentencing or the, charges were going to be minimized and the sentence was going to be whether 3 years or 4 years, basically the minimum of what was allowed. That's what you were telling me.
Okay. So
and I was just questioning that because of the simple fact that he did try to kill me.
Okay, the sentence is in the court's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's totally up to the court. The state doesn't, the court will hear from the state. The court will allow you to address the court. And then the defendant will be allowed to address the court, and then the court will decide the sentence.
Okay, that necessarily doesn't answer the question, though.
What is your question?
Was Mr. Herring under some sort of condition at the time that he committed the crime?
He was
in trouble at the time that he...
We discussed this. He was on a conditional discharge for a drug offense.
Okay.
As a first-time drug offense, he was under a 996 conditional discharge.
And
that, as we discussed, that isn't admissible at trial. So that would not come in front of the jury. All right.
So
and we're making decisions on this case based on the strengths of the case, our experience with jury trials, what they do whenever it's one person's word against the other. We've got
one
to make this
word against the other.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Herring did make a statement?
Whenever he stated that, he didn't make a formal statement. We discussed this.
And what would be a formal statement?
He did not sit down for an interview with law enforcement.
Okay, so he never sat down for an interview with the law enforcement. So
right.
The Rose Hill Police Department never actually interrogated him or interviewed him.
Invoked his right to an attorney.
So they did attempt to interrogate him?
Yes.
At what time?
Let's see. On that date, according to Captain Jason DeBose, Officer Johnson and himself went to the magistrate's office and made contact with Mr. Herring, and Mr. Herring had already talked to the deputy of the Dubin County Sheriff's Office and stated to him they wished to talk to the lawyer for any questioning. He introduced himself and stated to him that he wished to speak to a lawyer for any questioning. That was that.
At what time?
There's not a time listed.
Is there a date?
No report. It's dated 6/25/21.
But there's no time. Is there a time that the Rose Hill Police Department was able to record where they arrived on the scene? Detective Tyler Johnson. Does it tell you, does your record have the time that he arrived on scene?
Give me 1 minute, please. Appears 17:09 is the first report in.
So that's 5 o'clock then. 5 p.m.
See, the call came in at 17:06. So they were there within 3 minutes of the call?
That's incorrect.
I'm just reading the CAD report.
So. I understand, but your report would be wrong. Okay. Because the
this is the 911 emergency management.
I hear you,
report.
But
I'm
not going to argue that with you, but what I'm going to tell you is this. I did lie on the ground. I did get shot. I woke up that morning and went to my cousin's house to go and help him. He was on dialysis. He was having a lot of difficulty just doing regular things. He had a mobile scooter. Okay. So I woke up that morning to go to his house. I spent the morning with him, helping him. And around lunchtime, we were going to the Rose Hill Police Department. So what I'm telling you is 5 o'clock is definitely incorrect. Definitely incorrect.
Sir, this is the emergency management.
Okay, so I'm also gonna let you know this. I have my phone where I made a call to my grandmother. I made a call to my grandmother after this man shot me, and I asked her, I told her if she could come and get me, and that Denzel had shot me. That phone call is in my phone. I can bring that phone call up, and I can definitely give you the time of that. So what your report says is definitely incorrect.
I'm not, sir, you're saying that a 911 call time that they rely on every day for emergencies, for people's life and safety, is incorrect. And I'm not going to sit here and argue. There's no indication.
That's all I want to do either. I'm not going to argue that about
you can.
There's no reason to.
If you've got, we've met before, and this is the first time I've heard about this call.
Right.
So why is that, sir?
The first time that you've heard about this call.
That you're saying that you called your grandmother. You didn't say that in your statement.
Right.
You didn't say it in any of the meetings we've had or in any of the emails that you've sent. So why are you saying it now?
Well, that's just something that I think it matters. I think
it
definitely matters.
Why didn't it matter before?
Well, I'm not sure why it didn't matter before, but looking back on the situation now, and all of the information that I've gathered from the beginning to now, it definitely indicates that there was something wrong with this situation. You know?
Okay.
As far as time is related?
You're talking about 911 call logs, sir. There's no reason for them to, for these to be wrong. I mean, they depend on these for life-saving things, and they responded. I don't understand.
So you're telling me that Detective Tyler Johnson arrived on the scene 3 minutes after the call?
I'm saying, according to the 911 report, that someone arrived. I have the call numbers. And in case the report buys one male on the ground. So that's what the call log indicates.
And there's nothing else after that?
There's a lot of information after that.
Okay, so what time did the officers arrive on scene after Detective Tyler Johnson? Is it possible that you can just make copies of
it? I can't give you copies, sir.
You can't give me anything that is in that file?
No.
Absolutely.
We've discussed that.
And why is that so?
Because they're prosecution files. They are the file of the state of North Carolina. I've already discussed this with the elected district attorney and Conference of DAs. Mm-hmm. This is a pending criminal case.
And once it's concluded on, you say that he's going to plead out on the 29th, correct?
That's my understanding.
But that may change? Because I want to go to trial? Or is it all up to you?
Well, the state has made the plea offer after we've discussed it. And we believe it's an appropriate plea offer based on the facts, the strengths and weaknesses of the case. Okay? Ultimately, the defendant has to plead. So that's under the control of the defendant.
And if he doesn't plead, then what takes place?
Then we will address what's going to happen next.
Right, go to trial, correct?
I can't say what's going to happen for certain after that, sir.
Okay, so the DA is the prosecutor of this case. And that's you, right?
The prosecutor assigned to the case handles the case.
Right.
The elected district attorney assigns prosecutors to the case.
And you're the prosecutor of this case?
That's assigned to this case, yes, sir.
When you decided to go to Sampson County, you didn't let me know that you intended on leaving, and when you did leave, you were already gone before I knew.
Sir, there are hundreds of cases. It is typical.
Mine is minuscule to you.
No, it's not minuscule, sir, but we don't.
I understand.
We don't tell, sir. I've met with you and I've emailed you. We have dealt with different
states. You have
places
to go, people to meet.
Sir, I'm not going to engage in this conversation.
Right.
We do not let, in any case, we do not let every single person involved in the case know that the prosecutor's left until it comes up in the next. The prosecutor normally just takes over. Another prosecutor. That's
Miss Cynthia. Ever since our first meeting, have I not been calling you to get in touch with Mr. McGirt? Every time that I spoke with you, did I not ask for Mr. McGirt?
We have called Jason.
And I have asked you for Mr. McGirt.
Jason.
And I've asked for you every single time, sir.
You don't always.
I've asked for you.
Sir, we have talked about this. I'm not going to go through this again.
For the past 10 months.
Sir, I moved to a different county. Another prosecutor was supposed to be assigned to the case. It was determined that in the last month or so, I've already gone over, that I was going to be back on the case, even though I transferred to a different county.
I understand.
I don't see the need to discuss this more because we have gone over this, sir.
I understand now.
So
there's very little time to do things like inform somebody whether or not you're going to be prosecuting their case or not.
Sir,
there's hundreds of cases. I understand that. You're very busy.
I don't understand what's got to do with the case or what's happening with the case.
What I was trying to get a better understanding of is this. With my continuous reaching out to Miss Cynthia, in hopes of contacting you and getting a meeting with you that we are having today, and I'm happy to have it, and I'm grateful that you're here, and Mr. Morrison too. I'm very appreciative of it because I've been asking for it for so very long.
Yes, sir. We've already met several times about this case as well.
You recuse yourself?
I didn't recuse myself, sir.
So what was the process like for you being transferred to Sampson County?
I'm not going into the process of me going to a different county. It has nothing to do with this case whatsoever.
Okay.
This happens. There are other cases here that I was working on that other prosecutors are handling now. You spoke with Ms. Carroll about this case on the phone?
I haven't.
Yes, y'all, you did, sir.
Me and Ms. Carroll
told me that y'all spoke over the phone and she had to end the phone call because of the conversation.
Me and Ms. Carroll did not communicate with my understanding that she was the prosecutor of my case. I contacted the district attorney's office to reach you.
Sir,
I got on the phone with Ms. Cynthia and Lori Carroll.
We've gone over
Carroll.
This, sir. I'm not going to
get I just want to get this out for you what actually occurred.
I moved to a different county.
I understand that. You're not aware of what took place.
Yeah, I am, sir. All the other cases that I was working on
at
here
the time that
were
Ms.
moved
Carroll
to other
and
prosecutors.
At the time Ms. Carroll and I spoke, I was not aware that you had left. I was not aware that you were leaving. I was still requesting that I speak with you, that I meet with you.
Sir, I don't understand. We have discussed this. I have been working on this case ever since I was reassigned to it. I don't understand what this discussion is like.
That I spoke with Ms. Carroll about this case when I had not.
Y'all spoke over the phone, sir. I'm not going to argue with you.
We spoke over the phone.
Right.
Particularly about legal counsel in this criminal case, because I was under the impression that you were representing me.
We have discussed this with you and your grandmother. The state does not represent you as your personal attorney.
You represent me as the victim, correct?
We represent the state of North Carolina.
Right.
The victim gives their input. We represent the state, and we are addressing the case as best as we can. Okay?
Right. The first time that we met, right?
Sir, I called this meeting to discuss the case.
You're telling me that I'm not able to see anything in the file.
Correct.
Right. But you're not.
Well,
you're free to
ask questions. We've discussed this case. We've met several times where we've gone through this. Chief Tyndall was here before. You've also gone to the Roseville Police Department. You've been given numerous opportunities to discuss the facts of the case. We've been denied every time I've asked for information about the case.
We
have met several times, and every time you ask a question, I've answered it with facts.
Mr. McGurdy. We met in 2021 after the fact. We met once more before I left to California. When I came back
that's
in
not,
2023.
That's, sir, that's. You sent an email the other day, those dates aren't correct. We met with your grandmother twice.
By herself? Or with me?
With you.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, and then you came in 2021. So we've met three times. We're meeting today. We've emailed back and forth. What are you trying to ask about this case?
I'm trying to establish that the fact that our communication has not been as steady and.
Sir, we have communicated with you more than any victim. We've communicated with you so much, sir. I don't think you understand how much we've communicated with you. And worked on your case. We communicated
Mr.
with your
Tyndall,
family.
You're not here to answer any questions.
We communicated with your family when you were not able to communicate, when they had concerns about you and your
Webster,
mindset.
You're not here to answer any questions, correct?
You're here to talk to Jason.
You're not willing to speak to me at all.
You're here to get requests.
You're not willing to speak to me at all.
There's nothing I can tell you that Jason can't tell you.
What else would you like to talk about?
Because the thing is, the questions that I'm asking you, you're not necessarily answering them.
So we've already discussed all these things. What do you want to know about the case?
This is what I would like to know about the case specifically. In regards to this attempted murder, right? I was the victim. I can't relate to you what that experience is like in totality and, you know, hope that you actually understand where I'm coming from.
Sir, we have met and discussed.
What I'm saying is this. He attempted to murder me. Okay. He wasn't in trouble He wasn't on felon and he wasn't on probation, but a conditional discharge, as you say, a 90 to 96 conditional discharge for a drug offense. It's inadmissible to court, and whatever stipulations in that condition don't apply to committing felonies like attempted murder while under that condition.
Sir.
Correct?
Sir.
Correct.
What is your question specifically? It's not admissible in court.
My question is, how does attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, with the intent to kill or inflict serious injury, come out to, you say, 3 to 4 years?
Sir, that is the sentencing guidelines, and the court is the one deciding the sentence.
But that's okay. An accurate sequence of events, correct?
What do you mean, the sequence of events?
He attempted to murder me.
Sir, that has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt in front of a jury. And we've discussed why a jury trial has uncertainties.
Mr. Trump got shot in the ear.
Okay.
Not too long ago. He got shot in the ear.
Correct.
They said that was an assassination attempt.
Correct.
That was an attempt to kill him. He did not get shot in his body cavity. He did not absorb any bullets. But that's classified as an assassination, right? That was an attempt to kill him.
Sir, there's an investigation about that. The people are using that term, but they aren't prosecutors in the legal process. And it's different from media and everyday people using that term.
What differentiates an attempted murder from an assault with a deadly weapon with the intent to kill and inflict serious injury?
One is statutory, one is common law. They're essentially dealing with the same things. But
the act itself. The act itself, what separates attempted murder from that?
One is a common law offense and one is a statutory offense.
I understand what you're saying.
And they both involve similar conduct. All right? They both involve similar conduct. But one is punished differently than the other. And that's just based on the statute and common law guidelines.
Have you prosecuted any attempted murder?
Yes,
cases?
Sir.
You have?
Yes, sir.
And in those cases, what were the...
Jurors, in our experience, jurors do not like that charge. They do not tend to find people guilty of attempted murder. It's a very difficult charge.
Right, okay? But as far as the
Because you have to prove that the person was attempting to... They actually wanted you dead. And that's not as easy as you think.
I'm
now,
not
especially
assuming anything.
Especially in a case where you confront him where he was not bothering you, he was not doing anything to you.
Of course not.
You confronted him. That's
and I wasn't bothering him in confronting him, but seeking to clarify. You know.
But sir, he is saying that that's what you did, and so
hold on,
he said that you came to him.
So he did make a statement.
Yes, it was self-defense.
So he's...
He did not make a formal statement.
Right.
I've discussed this.
So, sir,
would
Mr.
you like
McGirt,
to know what
this
he
is
said?
This is what I'm so concerned about here, is that there's a lot of discrepancy in what's
there's,
being said.
There's not discrepancy. I'll tell you exactly what...
You first stated to me in our meeting that Mr. Herring made no statements.
He did
and
not.
That only,
no,
the
I did
only,
not.
Yes, you did.
No,
the,
sir,
you
I
said
I
the
disagree.
Only statements...
I disagree. I'll tell you exactly.
Mr. McGirt,
I'll tell you exactly what was said. Okay?
I was under the impression.
I'll tell you exactly, if you'll listen to me, Mr. Curry, I'll tell you exactly what was said in the report. Okay? That way there's no...
That's
confusion.
Perfectly fine, and I would
that
appreciate
way no
it. But as far as what our conversation
sir,
was...
Sir, I know what was said because I'm just reading from the report.
Far as what our conversation was...
I'm not going to argue with you, Mr. Curry.
It was expressly stated by
true.
You...
That's not true.
It was expressly stated by you that Mr. Herring made no statements to us. All of our statements have come from Ms. Brown.
He made no formal statement. That's not
true. Okay, that's
what
you told
me. Sir, I've always read
from the report. That's what you told me. You told me he made no formal statement.
Mr. Curry, I'm not going to argue with you.
Thank you.
I have not told you that.
You have not told me that.
I've read from these reports every time. I wasn't there. I didn't investigate the case. I'm just reading from the reports. Okay?
And the people who did investigate the case are unwilling to speak with me.
This is what the report, this is what the report says, Mr. Curry. Okay?
But I can't read for myself.
It said, Officer Johnson and I went to the mayor's office and they contacted Mr. Herring. Mr. Herring had already talked with a deputy of Dubin County Sheriff's Office and asked him what he wished to talk with the lawyer before questioning. I introduced myself to Mr. Herring and said to him that I knew he wished to speak to a lawyer before any questioning, so therefore I would not be asking any questions at this time, which is him invoking his right. Sounds we talked like- about Ms. Mr. Herring's grandmother, Adeline Herring, stated that she received a phone call from Mr. Herring asking what he should do because he had just shot someone. Grandmother said he should turn himself in and stop at a rest stop on 421. We've discussed this before at our meetings. Grandmother stated she went and picked him up and his friend Tamisha Brown was with him. They got into the vehicle and came to the mattress office where he turned himself in. Grandmother states that he told her that him and the guy got into an argument and the guy pulled a gun on him and he took the gun away from him and shot the guy. Yes, Ms. Brown, that is what Ms. Brown stated as well.
Right.
Okay. So Mr. Herring, when they began searching the car, Mr. Herring started asking him questions about the vehicle and what they were looking for. Mr. Herring said that the gun was thrown out of the window. Ms. Brown says he did too. Ms. Brown asked Ms. Brown where he threw the gun. Ms. Herring said that he threw it out as soon as he turned on the paved portion of the road. He was then told that he was being charged with assault with a deadly weapon and asked why. He said that it was in self-defense. I then told him the victim was shot from behind. He stated that Mr. Herring replied that he shot him in the front the first couple times. And then they discussed that he wanted to talk to his attorney.
Okay. So, Ms. Brown's statements. Is that what you're concerned about in the prosecution of this case when you say that it's one word against another?
Well, certainly we're concerned about her statements.
Right.
The other person that was there, which is your family member, is now deceased, so he's not able to testify.
There is body cam evidence of his testimony at the time.
That's not admissible, sir.
Right, but you've seen it.
That doesn't mean we can get into evidence.
Have you seen it?
Yes. But that doesn't mean that it can go into evidence.
So you're aware of my cousin's testimony. I'm not the only one who knows what happened to me.
Sir, we're talking about the trial of the case.
Mr. McGirt, all I'm trying to make clear here is this. You treated me like it was only me.
That's not true.
Afterwards, my cousin passing.
That's not true.
Okay, so you never told me that you actually knew, you know, what my cousin was able to testify at the time. You never told me that.
Sir,
I'm under the impression that I alone have to fight for my own. You know,
your cousin is not here to testify, sir.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is
his video is not going to evidence.
But you,
we're not going to argue
about it. I hear you. I'm not talking about it going into evidence, but I just needed to know that you are aware of that testimony. You are.
I'm aware of a statement that
he. Did you hear the phone call?
The phone call.
The 911 call.
Yes, sir.
Emergency call. You heard that. Okay. What separates attempted murder from assault, and how do you differentiate the two?
Sir, we have discussed this. Okay?
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have, sir. We've discussed this at the previous meetings. There's a difference between what
you say that the jury is not willing to convict somebody on attempted murder because it's more difficult.
When he's willing to plead guilty to a felony assault with...
He wasn't interrogated, though, because he invoked his rights to an attorney.
Correct.
And it was never interrogated.
You can't after they invoke the right to an attorney, sir.
Right. So there was no investigation.
That's not true.
Was Ms. Brown interrogated?
She provided a statement, sir.
Was she questioned any further?
This is the statement that I have from her.
Have you spoke with her?
No.
Has anyone spoke with her?
They spoke with her that day.
And that was it.
That's all that I can confirm based on the report.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
All right, we're not going to make comments
about that. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But I'm very confounded at the fact that the investigation was for all of a day.
And that no one said that.
How long did the investigation go?
Sir, they continue to gather records. I've made requests.
Was there any evidence gathered from the defendant's vehicle?
Yes.
And what was the evidence?
From the scene, there were 6 casings that were found and a black hat.
And there were no unfired rounds. I do recall you saying that there were cartridges in that vehicle. Miss Brown needs to be charged. She needs to be charged.
So 1 through 6 were casings from a 5.7 times 28 casing, black hat, 2 swabs containing DNA, 2 red fibers, another casing, a spent projectile, wallet, ID, cash, and check, 2 cell phones, a casing of the same type as before, marijuana, a cell phone, bag of marijuana, bags and weights, plastic container with unknown brown substance. Black pair of Nike shoes, 1 t-shirt, 1 red with white, shorts, and matching sweatshirt, plastic container with bullet fragments.
Okay, and that would be very difficult evidence to present before a jury as to the conduct of Mr. Herring at the time and what maybe his state of mind at the time may have been.
I'm not sure how that relates to.
I'm just saying
a disagreement between the two of you when he was sitting in his driveway and you, sir, we have discussed this. He should not have shot you in that way. He's pleading guilty to a felony assault. Okay, the court's discretion as far as the sentence.
This man was in my grandmother's house.
He's going to be requested to pay restitution.
Well, we were kids.
All those things have
been
discussed.
We were kids at the time. I was a child, basically. I looked up to him. I thought I looked at him as almost like a brother, you know? I would never think he would shoot me. But the thing is I didn't know him. And that's clear. It's clear as day to me now. I had no clue who this dude was. I had no clue. And that seems to be my fault. To assume that, you know, maybe he has character or some integrity. Maybe he's a stand-up guy. Maybe he does feel wrong about treating my sister wrong. Maybe he would make amends. Maybe he would get her car fixed. He told her their car, man. He treated my little sister and my little cousin, I guess, like they were approachable in a way that they shouldn't have been. You did this, 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 and that. You really don't, there's nothing you want to say to me? That doesn't warrant getting shot 17 times. But it makes sense if you're a drug dealing, guns toting, who knows what else, brown substance, man. The state of mind is what I'm getting at here.
Sir,
if you don't shoot somebody once.
We discussed this at the last 2 meetings. Okay?
I would never hurt
with
this
with your
man.
Grandmother. And your grandmother understood this. You confronted this man. He was not bothering you. You went up to him where he was.
When he came to where I was,
you didn't have. That's not what your statement says, sir. That's not what the evidence shows. You went to him.
What I'm saying is this. My cousin Jimmy's house is here.
You could have stayed where you were, sir. And I'm not saying you should have gotten shot the way you did. We've discussed this.
But it warrants getting
shot. I'm saying that it is. No. I'm saying is a jury is going to have to weigh that, and we have concerns that they're going to believe that there could be self-defense here, and we believe that when
because
he's pleading guilty,
weapon?
When he's pleading guilty to a felony assault,
because I had a weapon, right?
That is a good resolution.
Because I had a weapon, because Tanisha Brown says so, right?
That was her statement.
Exactly. That wasn't investigated thoroughly.
I don't understand.
There was no questions afterwards that you said it happened.
What else is she supposed to...
What I'm saying is this. If somebody lies to the police, lies to the prosecutor, lies to whoever they talk to, right? I've told you that this is a lie. You did it. It didn't matter to you is what I'm saying here.
Sir, I'm not going to allow you to...
It didn't have an effect on the investigation at all.
That's not true, sir.
Mr. McGirt, you stated that nobody further questioned Ms. Brown after her initial statement.
I'm just telling you what the investigation showed, sir.
And that's what I'm pointing out here is an issue. Because her statement alone is the same reason that you're giving to me that attempted murder is not going to work.
That is not true, sir. That is not the statement alone. I've already discussed
in court. You said that it's her word because Mr.
I'm saying that
Herring hasn't formally given a statement that makes too much.
Her statement is a part of this, sir. I'm not saying it. I've never said it's the only reason we are doing it.
Well, tell me what the other reasons are,
sir. I just went over that. You confronted him, okay? You confronted him when he was not doing anything to you. You, in your statement, you say he flashed a gun at you and you still went over there to him and confronted him.
I would never think
he
was
shooting.
Sir, you
don't think a jury is going to have an issue with that? With you walking over to someone who you say has got a gun.
As I stated to you in my email, sir.
And when you
went to my house over at my grandmother's.
Please allow me to talk.
To shoot guns.
Sir, please allow me to talk because you asked me to explain it.
I'm just saying. I'm just explaining to you the situation.
Are you
going
to allow me to explain it?
Please go ahead.
Okay. When law enforcement comes to speak with you.
In the hospital.
You do not talk to them.
I requested another officer because Detective Tyler Johnson is the one who wouldn't help me when I was begging for help.
Sir.
I was begging for help.
Law enforcement and EMS responded and got you to the hospital.
I understand. I wasn't in the right mind frame, sir. I was under heavy medication.
You don't think the jury is going to be concerned that you didn't want to make a statement at first?
I was fearful for my life, Mr. McGirt. I had been shot 17 times. He treated my sisters, he treated my family like they're nothing to him, right? So why should I be so compelled to speak with the police at a time where he's showed incredible disregard for my life and my own
family?
But
you end up doing it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you ask what their concerns are. I'm giving them to you, sir.
I understand, As far as my statement to Detective Tyler Johnson, was that recorded or not?
Regarding?
Because I did speak to him.
Are you talking about the hospital?
I did speak to him, yes.
I don't have a recording.
So that he didn't make a report. So he didn't make any report of the conversation that we did have.
Report or recording?
I'm asking for a report, recording, whatever.
That
it doesn't
Officer
matter.
Johnson?
Because Detective Tyler Johnson and I had a conversation, and I explicitly stated why it was I didn't have a desire to speak with him about what happened to me. You know, if you're lying on the ground, bleeding out, choking on your own blood, and about to pass out, and somebody looks at you and says, I'm not gonna help you unless you help me. It's a very disturbing thought to have to see this person in front of you at your hospital bed at 2 o'clock in the morning while your nurse is taking bandages off of you and putting new ones on, and he's opening up the door and, wow, man, the guy who said he wouldn't help me unless I helped him, and I couldn't help him. I needed help. I told Mr. Tyler Johnson that I would rather speak to another officer than him because of my experience. I said, keep Mr. Herring locked up. I'm concerned about myself and my family, and I want to speak with a different officer. I don't want to speak with you.
From the Roseville Police Department.
Detective Tyler Johnson.
Okay.
The first responder.
Okay, why didn't you want to speak with him?
As I stated, because the way that his demeanor wasn't very, he seemed like he had a lot of other things on his mind other than what I was going through.
Based on what, Mr. Curry?
As I said, his demeanor. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sir.
It was 2 o'clock in the morning. He did seem very tired.
I'm not gonna.
He seemed like he didn't really want to be there. And on top of that, as I said, my experience with
him. You're assuming these things, sir. There's. The reality is, you didn't give a statement.
Okay. I requested to speak with another officer.
Now, you may have reasons why you did.
I didn't know that there were only 5 officers in the Rose Hill Police Department. I didn't know that.
Okay.
If I wasn't aware of that, I would have gone ahead and talked to him.
Okay, well, the issue is you didn't. All right, and then you provided another statement.
I did speak with him.
Okay.
I did speak with Officer Tyler Johnson, Detective Tyler Johnson. I did. He didn't record it, but I did speak with him.
Okay.
And I would like to actually have him involved in this, but it's something that's just sadly not going to be able to take place because he no longer works at the Rose Hill Police Department, correct?
I don't keep up with the employment of the Rose Hill Police Department.
And Mr. Tindall answers no questions.
I can't control the chief. And
why is he present if he's unwilling to even escort me or help me?
He didn't say that he was unwilling to escort you. He said he would escort you to your vehicle.
He said his jurisdiction.
He said he would escort you to your vehicle and that he doesn't have jurisdiction out in the county. That's what he said. Do you have any further questions?
How much time do we have?
Sir, I'm not just going to sit here. If you've got questions, I'm happy to answer questions, but we're not just sitting here arguing about the case.
I'm not.
We've discussed the different things. We believe it's reasonable. I've spoken with the district attorney about this case. He believes this is a reasonable disposition based on the facts and circumstances. Right. And that's how we're going to proceed, sir.
So, Mr. Ludlum, he's back.
Yes, sir.
And he was where?
My understanding, he was on a camping trip with his child.
Okay. So, is he going to be Is he going to be the defendant's attorney in his civil suit?
I don't know.
Okay. Is it possible that this prosecution will actually go a little bit further than the 29th if he chooses not to plead?
Is your question, is it possible the prosecution will go further than 29th?
Yes.
If he chooses not to plead.
Right. He'll remain free, correct?
The case is still pending until it's disposed.
When did the investigation conclude? How long was it? You won't speak to me. And the report says...
I can't... That's not something that I have information on when it concluded, sir. I don't have that information.
Okay. Well... California Victims Compensation called me not too long ago and said that the information that they were provided basically stated that the investigation was still ongoing.
That's what the reports always say, sir. The initial reports.
So when the police report was provided, the complete report, the investigation could be said to be over at the time, right?
No. There is always, the cases are always ongoing until they're disposed, sir.
Okay, so as far as the investigation is concerned, what has materialized since Tanisha's Helen Brown statements.
I'm not sure why you're so focused on her statements. There's been other things. There's been hospital records that have been obtained. There have been 911 calls.
Well, the main reason I'm so concerned about them is because they're lies, and that's the basis.
Her statement is just a part of the case.
It's a very, very damning and defaming, slanderous thing that she's saying.
Sir, everyone is allowed to make statements.
I understand that.
And it's up for
my dead
it's
cousin.
Up for a jury to decide whether they believe it or not.
Did the people in that home who who were standing in that window, I assume they were standing in the window watching, did they make a statement?
I don't have any statements other than from a female who heard shots.
There was a woman who I remember, or a man, I don't know if it was a woman or a man, but somebody ran out of that house when I was laying on the ground, right after, and he had gone and said, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you? And she was screaming, because she must have seen everything.
Sir, that I don't have any statements that someone saw everything.
Right. So there's no other witness besides...
At the time, a small juvenile female, 17 years old, standing outside the crime scene with an older female. So that first female noticed she was crying, asked her what happened. She said she was playing the yard across from the scene when she heard several gunshots. She saw a man laying on the ground. Then a small gold-colored car left the yard.
Did she say that it stopped and creached over, opened the door, like they were about to come back out and shoot me more?
No.
Okay.
That's so not in the report.
Does Tymisha make any statements about anything that Mr. Herring has done or did right after the shooting?
I went over this earlier, sir, but Ms. Brown says he did too when he said he threw the gun out of the window.
Okay. And Mr. Brown was never, Mr. Herring was never able to be questioned or interrogated because of his rights.
Sir, we discussed that. Right. Correct.
And Ms. Brown was just never questioned any further after the incident, even though I brought up to you that, and you saw the statement or testimony, the very moment after it's happened, you were aware of that. When did you become aware of that? Or when did you, the testimony of my cousin who's now passed?
Sir, it's been a part of the case file. We've always been aware. Your cousin's not here to testify.
So you do know that there are conflicting statements.
Yes.
Right.
And that is the point that I'm trying to tell you, sir, is there are conflicting statements, and a jury has to decide which is correct. And it's not as easy as you think to convince a jury, 12 different jurors, beyond reasonable doubt. Okay, I just tried a case last week where the law enforcement officer who spoke with a defendant in a plea to elude, and the jury said that he didn't have enough identification. So it's not as easy as you think it is for people to rely on one statement or the other. Okay?
I would rather him go before a jury. I would.
Okay.
Because at that point...
I understand that. We've discussed
that. It's not
up
to me. I understand. But I'm sincere.
But you also understand...
I'm trying to express this.
You have made that clear, sir, that you want to try the case. But
right. There's
when you try a case, there's a chance that he walks out of the door.
And you know what?
And we've discussed that happens, with you and your grandmother.
If that happens...
We've discussed that with you and your grandmother.
If that happens, you know what? Then justice is just not what I think it is. But as far as I'm concerned right now, I think it has to be tried. It has to be. Because I would like to see whether or not a jury, with everything, maybe you yourself won't put forth everything in that case file before them that I might say up on the witness stand. Maybe you won't, but I am willing to do that. And if Tymisha Helen Brown is also called...
The state can only introduce evidence as admissible at trial, okay? We can't introduce stuff that the judge isn't going to let in. A judge decides what comes
in.
So
I'm not allowed to be a witness.
You are allowed to be a witness, but if you're referring to statements made by your uncle, your cousin, that's not going to be able to come in because he's not here. Okay? That's just...
And there's no other witnesses, huh?
There are no other witnesses to what occurred between you and Denzel prior to the shots being fired.
And the only people who are aware of that are the Rose Hill Police Department, the District Attorney's Office, and...
That aware of what, sir?
Of the testimony that if the one who testified was still living would be, I guess, presented before the court or brought before the judge.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Is there any other legal organization authority that is aware of that testimony? North Carolina Department of Public Safety, North Carolina Victims Compensation. They had a very difficult time.
Sir,
they had a very difficult time identifying me as the victim.
Sir, we gave them the information and they provided a lot of money to you. Okay?
They paid one bill. $29,000 for a medevac.
That is a very large bill, sir, and you are very fortunate to
get
that.
Do you know how many bills? Yes, you should know.
Sir, you are very fortunate to receive that. Most victims don't get that kind of money.
$29,000.
You are very fortunate. That's a lot of money.
That was one bill, sir.
Okay, I understand that.
Mr. McGirt, do you know how much my bills totaled out to?
The victim's compensation decides what they give out. They are completely their own entity. And make decisions.
As far personally. As restitution is concerned, what is that about?
What do you mean?
What does it entail? Restitution is payment for those medical bills that you've been provided, correct?
Correct.
Do you know what my bills total out to?
Ms. Webster?
$153,000.
Okay, and they've gone through them with your grandmother.
So one bill alone that I incurred was $400,000 from one.
This is
hospital.
Based off what insurance has paid, what's been covered. That's the outstanding
amount. Am I at least
amount.
Able to get a copy of all of that information?
Sir, that's the information you provided us.
I have all of that right here.
Okay.
And that doesn't equate to $153,000.
Okay. Ms. Webster, can you explain that process?
All the bills that you gave, I went through and calculated them. Then, remember, we got the bills back because the insurance had paid some on it, so the amount, the 153 and change, is what the total plus minus what the insurance has paid. And after the insurance is paid, then that's what was left. And the $400,000 one that you're talking about, the insurance paid all but $2,000 of it.
Okay, so what about the out-of-pocket insurance expenses that I incurred in order for those bills to be paid?
Sir, we got the total that you provided us. That's where this information is coming from.
Okay, so insurance made majority of the payments, and that's how that number was calculated. Mm-hmm. I understand that. All right. And as far as how it's going to be paid, that's supposed to be the responsibility of the defendant, correct?
Correct.
And that's going to come out of, he has only money to pay an attorney, and I have to wait on that, correct?
He's
going
to have to come up with it. That's going to be the court will order restitution to be paid.
And how that goes, could you give me a breakdown, like a short summary of how it's paid,
the court,
when it will or should be paid?
That will be, the court decides that. We never are able to decide. That's the court's sentencing as to, they come up with payment schedules or the amount of time that stuff has to get paid. That's what the court decides in the sentence.
With your experience as a prosecutor, for how long have you been a prosecutor?
Almost 13 years.
That's a lot of experience. How, with that experience, how would you say most likely that'll be broke down, $153,000 for a defendant such as Heron in this case? And
that is complete, I can't, that's judge dependent.
So he could say, like, oh, you have 50 years to pay this.
No, they have probation.
I don't have no
understanding. Sentencing doesn't go that long. It's normally 3 years, 2 to 3 years, and it can be extended.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So he'll have.
But it normally doesn't go over 5 years.
All right. That's what I was trying to get a better understanding of. How is he supposed to ever come up with such an amount of money?
He'll either have to pay it or the court will decide if he goes to prison if he doesn't pay it.
So if he does pay that amount, he doesn't have to go to prison?
No.
You know what you're saying?
So we've discussed this with sentencing, okay? You can be sentenced to a straight active sentence. You can be sentenced to a split sentence where there's some active time and some probation. And he's already got some active time. A judge could decide to give him more active time. So but there also is a restitution element to this.
So if these 3 years that have passed, he's been given time served for this?
No.
Oh.
No, he's got time that he was in custody.
For 30 days?
I'd have to find the exact amount. I think it's more than 30 days, though.
32 days. 34 or 5 days.
Okay, well, that's up to the court what they do with those days and what he gets credit for those days. The sentencing, again, is in the court's discretion.
I don't see it possible. I mean, my grandmother told me that they had over $1 million from lawsuits against hog houses or something like that, so he might be able to pay it, but I served him some documentation. I'm having filing a civil lawsuit, and
I can't say whether he's got the money or not.
He has an attorney to represent him for 3 years, so he might have something, right?
I can't say, sir. It's possible. I can't
say. As far as my civil suit is concerned, I really do need help understanding whether or not he's going to be sentenced on the 29th. You say that he will plea out. That's your understanding at this time.
That's the scheduled time, yes, sir.
Right. So on the 29th, with the understanding that you have, by the end of that court hearing, what do you expect to take place?
The sentencing, he's going to plead guilty, and the sentencing is going to be in the court's discretion.
And with the court having discretion over his sentencing, that points to the judge, whether or not he'll give him 1 year or 2 years.
Right.
Right. So as far as what the attorney is looking for out of the judge, what does he expect?
When you say the attorney, who are you referring to?
Mr. Ludlum. Hayes
Ludlum. I don't know what Mr. Ludlum is expecting.
But you do have open communication with him and stay in contact with him, correct?
Yes.
Right.
So I told him this is the
court. You would be aware of whether or not he was seeking a certain amount of time for his client.
What they are seeking, I think their preference would be that he is allowed to pay restitution, and he's not going to do that if he's in prison the whole time. And I told him that this is a sentence in the court's discretion, so the court will decide. The court will hear from all the parties and make that decision.
That's very tough. That's very tough. Would you say that Rose Hill or Dublin County has a rather lenient view on, or a lenient prosecution on violent crimes?
Sir, I'm not addressing that question. We prosecute the cases the best we can. We make decisions the best we can based on all the circumstances. Each case is different, and we make decisions that we believe is the best for the case at that time.
Okay. So I can expect for him, basically, to be put on probation for 3 years.
I don't know that,
and sir. Allowed to work out in the town to pay restitution. And not go to prison.
That's the court's discretion. I don't know what the court's going to do.
With outcomes that you've seen, is that typical?
Sir, every case is different. I can't tell you that. Every case is different. I can tell you what the judge could do, which is what I've just explained.
It's his discretion. And it's possible that he, wanting the defendant to pay restitution, would allow him to be free. Is what you're saying?
It's possible.
Right.
It's possible that he could send him to prison. It's possible that he could send him to some active time and then some probation. You're going to have the opportunity to tell the judge what you would like to see. The state will discuss the case and what, you know, we'll let the judge know what's going on with the case as far as the facts and circumstances. They will give their thoughts on the case from their side, and the judge will decide.
All right. And will Ms. Brown be called to the witness stand?
Not at a plea hearing, sir.
Huh. So she'll be, okay. So without the trial, she would never go to the witness stand?
Correct.
Is there some reason that you believe her on the witness stand might not serve in favor of the truth?
Sir, I don't know her. I don't know how she testifies. I'm telling you that the jury would hear from different people, and the jury would have to make that decision, and there are risks.
It's been 3 years, Mr. McGirt. It's been 3 years.
Okay.
Whatever her statements are or were, and what they will be, I don't think they're going to be the same. I really don't. And I do think that what you're not allowing me access to in that case file is exactly what would be able to help.
Sir, exactly. I've given you the opportunity to ask me questions. I've read to you what the report says. I'm not sure what else we can do at this point. I've given you the information.
But as far as the evidence is concerned, and all that is available, and with your understanding specifically, although that evidence that really changes this entire situation is no longer admissible, the simple fact that, as I just said, Ms. Helen Brown, Tamisha Helen Brown, I don't know her relationship currently with Mr. Herring. I don't know if it's stable or if it even exists anymore. But at the time of the incident, I believe she thought she was going to marry this man or something. I'm saying now, maybe she feels a little bit different about the situation.
Okay, do you have reason to believe that, or are you just...
Well, as I stated, I have a civil file. Civil suits have been filed against both of them. And I'm going to do my best to hold her accountable to those statements that she made.
Okay.
She's responsible for basically playing a part in the destruction of my life. Very much so. And all that I'm saying here is that her story, which has damned me, because it's been put up here, is what I'm saying.
I've explained to you that her story is a part of the case. You are putting on this
than the foundation of the case.
No, sir, no, it's not.
It is. It's the foundation.
Okay, we're not going to argue about what the
Mr. Hayes Ludlum. Mr. Hayes Ludlum is going to use that as the foundation of his case, because his case is self-defense, is it not? She has stated that I had a weapon and tried to do something to this man. Excuse my disposition, but all I'm saying is she made a statement that is going to be the foundation of the defense's position, or whatever the word is for that.
I can't say what the foundation of their case is, sir.
The foundation is self-defense.
It's a part of the case.
It's self-defense.
It's part of the case. Correct.
Who, other than Mr. Herring, has stated that that was a self-defense move he made?
Ms. Brown. But there's also, sir, part of that is you also admitting, and everyone else saying that you...
I walked up to him and asked him about how he treated my sister.
Okay, well, some people view that as being aggressive, sir.
Mr. McGirt, I said, bro, put the gun down. I'm not here to do anything to you.
But you've got to understand that jurors may not view that way. And that's our concern.
Mr. McGirt, he shot me 17 times.
And he,
after I told him, bro, put your gun down.
The medical records don't show 17 shots, sir, but
I counted 17 holes in my body.
I'm just telling you what the medical records.
Yeah, and guess what? There's still bullets in my body that they didn't take out.
We understand that you were shot. No one's denying that, sir.
Mr. McGurk, I understand where you're coming from.
But we're trying.
But they also
he is pleading guilty to.
I have bullets in my pelvis. I have bullets in my backside. I have bullets in my legs, in my foot, in my chest. And I believe I have some in my abdomen still. This showed up on x-rays. The first trauma surgery that I had, they couldn't even tell me how many times I got shot. I said, did you get all the bullets out? They wouldn't tell me. They couldn't tell me because they saved my life. That's what they were trained to do. That's what they were doing. It wasn't to remove all of the bullets in my body. That wasn't what they were intent on. They were intent on saving my life, which I'm grateful for. But as far as their reports and how many times they didn't even, some of my wounds they didn't treat, is what I'm saying. Although I didn't have insurance at the time, so it's understandable. And most importantly, their job was to save my life, so I understand. But as far as what's reported, I'm kind of telling you, I counted the holes on my body. I popped polymer blue tips out of my body and tried to take them to the Rose Hill Police Department to help them locate this weapon that was fired on me.
Sir, I understand that you were shot. We have discussed this. That's not you. He is pleading guilty to shooting.
Right, but he's pleading guilty to shooting me with a gun that I supposedly had, according to Miss Tymesha Helen Brown. In self-defense on that.
Okay, sir. There's risk to going to trial, and when there's evidence that could be an issue, we have to make decisions on.
Put Miss Brown on the stand.
Okay. We're not going to argue back and forth about the proceedings, what the state believes it. We can't just put people on the stand when they gave a statement for the defendant. Okay. That's not how it works.
So you just can't put her on the stand, although she's.
We're going to put her on the stand. She's going to. If she says this story, it helps the defendant.
Right.
If she changes, if she changes her story, that where does that get us, sir? Now she's changed her story.
She's perjured herself.
That doesn't give her that. Perjury is a statement under oath. So if she changes her
story, she's on the witness stand.
So if she tells a new story on the witness stand, then they're going to say, "Well, we don't know when you're telling the truth, right?"
I have no connection to this lady.
Okay. Do you have any further questions, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what are they?
As far as Tymesha Helen Brown is concerned, her statements that she made are extremely they've ruined the prosecution of this case.
Sir, that's not.
And as far as standing up to those statements that she made in trial, which I think should be done, you're not willing to do so.
Sir, that is a part of the case. It is not the entire case, okay? Even if her statement doesn't come in, it's still your word against his.
And his statement was that he took the gun from me and shot me with it. Can I ask you this? Does her statements and Mr. Herring's statements align perfectly?
Sir, the only thing that he stated was that it was in self-defense. He said he shot him in the front the first couple of shots. Then he talked about he threw the gun out of the window, and Miss Brown confirmed that.
And it was never recovered, right?
No.
Right. But they found cartridges in his vehicle, ammunition, drugs. when the Rose Hill Police Department searched my cousin's vehicle. What did they find?
Your cousin's vehicle?
Mr. Newkirk.
There was a search warrant on a Toyota Camry. I don't recall them searching your cousin's vehicle.
So they didn't search my cousin's vehicle?
I'm looking. I don't recall that being in the report, but...
Mr. Tindall, I thought you were not here to answer any questions. You're nodding your head no.
I haven't heard a word.
Are you trying to instruct Mr. McGirt on how to respond to me?
Sir, we're not getting into that. They don't instruct me to.
Mr. Tindall said he was not here to communicate with me.
I wasn't.
I asked you why he was here.
Sir, you request him
he
to be
here.
I can't
be present.
I can't control what he does. You request him to
I
be here.
I understand that.
So I asked him to be here.
I understand that. But as far as when I first entered this room, I asked to know who Mr. Morrison was and if Mr. Tindall was here to participate in our meeting, which he said no.
You request.
But now he's definitely shown signs of participation, but okay. Just not in the sense that I would be hoping for.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna get into an argument with you about the chief. I can't
Mr. Tindall, are
chief.
You willing to communicate with me at all? You are the police chief of this town or burg that I'm currently staying in. I'm not gonna be here very much longer, but I do need your assistance, and I hope you can help me with it, because I can only get your help, or Mr. Morrison's help if you're willing to help me with it. Are you willing to help me, sir?
Yes.
He can't sign that. It's law enforcement verification. It's for relocation. Only a law enforcement officer can sign this or fill this out. You're not willing to help me with this.
Everything goes through me, man.
Mr. McGirt, can you please help on this?
I don't know what that is. You need to
law enforcement relocation okay. Verification form.
You would need
because
to talk,
of concerns for my safety.
You need to talk to the town attorney for Rosie about that. That's not.
This form is for law enforcement to
town,
document the threat to the personal safety of the crime victim seeking relocation benefits from the California Victim Compensation Board. Title, badge number, if applicable. Including signature. The chief of police, who is present at my meeting with the prosecutor on this criminal case, is unwilling to sign this.
I can't address
and you're,
the chief.
You're directing me to the attorney of who?
The Rose Hill. If you have concerns
Mr.
about
Morrison,
that.
Are you not willing to? After hearing everything here.
I don't know what that is.
I understand. I'm more than able to explain it to you, but after hearing everything that's gone on in this meeting, do you think it's reasonable to say that I do have concerns for my life? With somebody who's attempted to murder
sir,
me.
Mr. Morrison's gotten, he's didn't investigate
he's,
the case. You need to, if you have a concern
okay, so
about law enforcement,
I have no concerns about law enforcement.
You need to discuss that with the town of Rose Hill.
This form is for law enforcement to
okay,
document
well,
the threat to the personal safety of the crime victim. He is able to do this. Captain DeBose is able to do this. Any other police officer who is unfamiliar with the case and no longer works at the Rose Hill Police Department can't help me with this. I have to sit down with an officer who's aware of my situation who can fill out this form for me.
Okay.
There's two law enforcement officers, the chief of police, Mr. Michael Tindall.
That's their decision, sir.
And Mr. Morrison, you're a deputy? You're a deputy?
Yeah, I'm a deputy.
How long have you been a deputy for?
Over 10 years.
At this Duplin County Sheriff's Department?
What is this
going
to do with, what is my concern? What is my background got to do with your case?
Well, first of all, you're a law enforcement officer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
After hearing what's going on here.
Sir, this is between you and the chief. He's answered you.
He's not.
We're not going to sit here.
Okay,
and
Mr. McGirt.
Argue about this.
Mr. McGirt, isn't it a part of your job to help me get victims' compensation benefits?
No, sir. We can give you information about that, but we are not required to get you.
Please benefits. Review this and tell me who I'm supposed to go to if I can't go to the chief of police of Roseville.
Sir, I can't give you legal advice.
This is not legal advice.
Sir.
Have you communicated at all with California Victims
yes.
Compensation?
Yes.
Okay, what have you communicated to them?
Ms. Webster sent an email to them.
What have you communicated?
I sent them an email last week.
And you stated?
I said that we had received a message from you on July 11th stating that they had contacted us three times, or contacted me personally three times, which they have not.
That was the letter that I sent to Mr. Tindall.
Any assistance. I believe, I have not been contacted by California.
You weren't contacted. That was the letter I
My legal assistant, Cynthia Webster, sent you the information on 7/1/24 in effort to assist Mr. Curry. That is the same information that was sent here in North Carolina. Please let the Duplin County District Attorney's Office know if you need further information.
Ms. Webster, was there an additional report that was sent afterwards of that day?
They never requested anything.
She contacted me the same day, I believe, or the day prior to my contacting you. And she told me that the information that she received was incomplete. It stated that the investigation was ongoing and it was missing all of the critical points that she was looking to address.
Ms. Curry, you sent us another email saying that she did get the information.
Exactly, that's okay. What I'm saying. So she contacted me a day, 2 days afterwards of calling me on the phone.
So she does have it.
She says she has it now.
So I'm not sure what we're discussing now.
Is where I'm trying to get to. I'm a resident of California. I'm not a resident of Duplin County. I don't live here. I'm from California, sir.
I understand.
California Victims Compensation needs this to be filled out by a law enforcement officer. Please review it and point me to the officer that I need to go and see, because I'm not familiar with this area. The Rose Hill Police Department Chief of Police, Mr. Michael Tindall, is unwilling to fill out any information nor communicate with me or provide anything to me, nor California Victims Compensation at all. I need somebody who is familiar with these departments, these agencies, these officials, who I can go to for help.
Okay.
I need law enforcement. I've reviewed
it, sir. I'm happy to make a copy of it. There's nothing that I can't. The district attorney's office can't force officers to do anything. Okay, we're not able to do that.
Is there a reason why you think they are not willing to do so?
Sir, I can't get into why they are not doing something. If you would like to,
does the department ever deny to assist victims of crime?
I've never seen this form, sir. So I can't tell you.
All it asks,
and I can't tell you what the name is.
I can't fill this out, right? Because it has to be a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
It has to have their name, their number, their address, their city, state, zip code, crime date, the crime code, crime report number.
Have you sent that to the chief?
I just received it in the mail on Saturday.
Then you may want to give them a copy so they can review it.
You need a copy of this.
If you'd like a copy, I'll turn it over to
you. I don't need a copy. This is the thing, sir.
All right. Mr. Curry, this is between you and the Roseville Police Department. Is there anything else that you have questions about regarding the case itself? We have sent information to the California Victims Crime Board. We sent information to North Carolina Victims Crime Board. This situation is between you and Rose Hill. That's something that you can address with them. You may want to talk to their town attorney. You're asking them to sign something they've never seen before, sir. So you may want to talk with them about that further, okay? What else can we... Is there anything else about this case?
Yes. There's a lot about this case.
Okay, sir, we're not going to...
There's a lot about this case that I still just am not so clear on.
What, like what, sir?
For instance, why is it that I'm not able to communicate or receive any information regarding this case?
Sir, we have met with you over and over again and given you opportunities to ask us about specifics from the case. You've asked, we've answered those. We don't give out case files or paper copies to people during ongoing criminal prosecutions. We just don't do that.
Okay, and what is the... It's been 3 years since the incident. Mr. Herring has been free for pretty much all that time, except for the 30 plus days that he was spending in jail at the beginning. With all this time that's passed, what has taken place in the courtrooms on those days that you were present and the defense attorney, Mr. Ludlum, was present, or Hayes, Mr. Hayes Ludlum was present? I was told by Ms. Webster that all of those dates that I was being sent in my email were just times where nothing happened, nobody even is in court. It's just the date.
He's been in court.
Ms. Webster, are you familiar with what I'm saying?
No. Nothing has happened with the case outside of they were continued for disposition, and we are getting to the point where we're at disposition. There's been a lot of, you know, there's been issues with you being in the hospital. There's been different issues with getting the restitution amounts. All those things have created time issues, sir. And we've gotten all these reports and records from hospitals that took time to go through. Prior to that, you were hospitalized for a long period of time. There were times where nothing has happened in this case outside of us getting the property back that you requested.
So that's the only time that you were in court with Mr. Ludlum?
As far as doing anything other than this case getting continued to another court date, so that we could...
So what you're saying is this entire time you've been in court one time?
No, sir, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so as far as you and the defense attorney being in court at the same time and there being a discourse between the three of you...
The case gets continued to a new court date.
So there was never anything of any importance discussed during those...
No.
During this three-year period of time. But there's been a considerable amount of work done, right?
I don't understand your question. You've asked
because
the
compound
question,
sir. I asked Miss Cynthia Webster, even though she's unwilling to speak to me now, many times if I would be able to be present at the court dates.
You've always been able to be present.
But I was told that there was never a court date to be present for because there would be no one there, is what I'm trying to understand. And but based on what you said, that it must be true, because if you only met in court with the defense's attorney present before the judge that one time for the release of my property, then that would make sense.
Sir, the case goes on every calendar, every administrative calendar, okay?
And you just, and there was just a continuous.
It just gets moved to the next court date.
There was always just
a continuous. Because we're waiting on things. You were in California, not able to get here. I've spoken
with
you on the phone
sometimes.
So what
did I need to be here for if I'm meeting with you 10 months later, Mr. McGurk?
Sir, we talked about this over the phone. Okay, I've got email records of this where me and you talked. You said that you were in school. We
yes.
said that we would work with you about your schedule.
Yes.
We would set a time where we could definitely get it done that wouldn't interrupt with your school
and
schedule.
Miss Cynthia
okay,
Webster.
And then the next thing that
Ms.
I know, you're here, didn't tell anybody, and
Ms.
just showed
Webster
up, and now
contacted
we
me.
Have never required you to stay here, sir.
I understand that, and I'm glad you say that, but it still is the same thing here. It doesn't address what I'm questioning you about.
What are you questioning about?
Why was I required to be here by August, and then by August, I've met with you once, and Miss Cynthia Webster contacted me when I was in California in summer session at Santa Barbara City College and told me that I was required. That's why I requested to be on Zoom. That's why I requested safety protocols, because I was being required to be in North Carolina at a certain time when I really didn't, I didn't have the wherewithal to anything even arrive.
How did she tell you that, sir?
Over the phone.
Okay, Ms. Webster, did you require him, say he was required to be here?
I did not.
Okay, so.
So you're saying that you did not contact me and tell me that I needed to be in North Carolina in order for the courts to proceed with this case?
In order for it to be a trial, you had to be here for the trial.
Right. No, we're breaking it down now.
So, Mr.
Kirk, I was under the impression that the case would be proceeding
to trial. We didn't give you that impression, sir.
Miss Cynthia Webster has just told you right now.
If there was a trial, you would be
expressly told.
Sir, that's not what she said.
That in order for the court case was not able to proceed without my presence. That's what I was told. And I arrived and I showed up and we met. Mr. McGirt, she just clarified for you.
She said that wasn't true, that it was only if you were here for a trial, sir. And I had discussed with you this same thing, that you would be we would notify you when the case was for trial and you would need to be here.
Do you recall when I requested a Zoom meeting?
Sir, we have met with you several times in this case, in person.
I requested a Zoom meeting.
We met with you in person, sir.
I requested a Zoom meeting when I was in California attending school. Why did I request the Zoom meeting?
I don't know why you requested a Zoom meeting.
Because I was being required to be in North Carolina.
Nobody
when I was,
required you.
Yes, here, I was being told.
Okay,
that I had
we're not
to
gonna
be,
argue. We disagree.
Mr. McGirt.
Okay. So
why did I request a Zoom meeting?
Sir, you and I have discussed this issue.
Why did I request a Zoom meeting?
I don't know why you requested a Zoom meeting, sir. We have met with you in person 4 times now. I have talked with you over the phone. We have emailed. This discussion about the Zoom thing, I don't know why you did what you did, sir. We have never required you to be here unless it was for trial.
So
and
I could have
we
provided
were working
those,
on certain dates.
Let me ask you this. So I could have provided those documents from California, right, and never had to show up until when? Right about now?
Whenever the case was going to be for trial, sir.
Okay, so
as far as
setting up times around school,
we discussed.
Why did we discuss that?
Because you said that you couldn't get here.
Because I was being requested to be in North Carolina.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No. All right, we're not going to argue about this. I've got email documentation about our conversation.
Please pull it up.
All right, so we're not.
I requested a Zoom meeting. I said, okay, if I have to be there,
nobody has required you to be here.
I need to schedule it around school.
All right, sir. Nobody's required you to be here. All right.
All right, Mr. McGurk. All right. If that's
what
you say.
We have met 4 times. We have talked over the phone.
Twice in 2021.
That's not correct.
Once in 2023.
That's not correct.
And here
we met with your grandma twice. Initially discussed the case back in the fall, and then again to confirm, and you were on board,
Mr.
with
McGirt.
That was in 2023.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we have met with you 4 times in person for hours, Mr. Curry. We met with your grandmother
in 2021. We met after court,
sir.
We met an additional time.
Do you have any further questions?
We met an additional
time
before I left in August of 2021.
Do you have any
questions? Met the third time when I came back in 2023.
That's not correct.
Yes, it is correct.
Sir,
after I arrived,
we met with your grandmother twice. You and your grandmother.
Okay.
Right, about the disposition of this case.
I remember. I was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
Both times, correct? I was in a wheelchair both times, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Okay,
sir,
those 2 times I was in a wheelchair, that was 2021.
Sir, I'm not going to argue.
That was 2021.
You have been in 4 times to
be. It was 2021.
What is your question, sir? I don't understand.
I was in a wheelchair both times, was I not?
What is your question?
I was in a wheelchair both times, was I not?
I remember you being in a wheelchair. I don't believe you were in a wheelchair the first time you came to the VA.
The first time?
Yes.
Are you serious?
But We've met with you four times now, Mr. Kirby. I don't understand the point of this conversation. You've been given more meetings than any victim that I can remember.
Because I'm a victim being treated like a defendant, Mr.
Sir, that is not
true. I'm a victim.
We have met with you for hours.
I'm a victim being treated like a defendant. I have a victim's compensation benefits, law enforcement relocation verification.
That is between you and Rosehill.
All right,
I believe that we've reached a point.
But you're supposed to be advocating for the victim, are you not?
I've worked on your case for years.
I didn't get victim compensation from North Carolina until 2023, and they told me they had extreme difficulty verifying whether or not I was the victim based on the reports that were provided by the Rose Hill Police Department and the District Attorney's Office.
Sir,
was my victim impact statement ever provided? Was my victim impact statement ever provided to North Carolina victim compensation?
Sir, they gave you money.
Was my victim impact?
I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm not arguing. I'm asking you the question. I'm asking you the question, Mr. McGirt.
Please leave.
Mr. McGirt, I'm asking you the question.
We have provided victims compensation.
With my victim impact statement?
And they rewarded you.
With my victim impact statement?
Sir, we've met with you.
Mr. McGirt, please answer this question about my case.
Ms. Webster, was victims compensation provided?
Was my victim impact statement provided to North Carolina victims compensation?
Your victim impact statement was not.
Was not.
But your application was.
Thank you all.
Sir, they rewarded you.
Please, Mr. Kendall, walk me out of this place. I have sincere distress and concern for my life and safety and being here. Mr. McGirt, I appreciate you.
Sir, I'm going to shake your hand.
You don't want to shake my hand?
I'm going to shake your hand, sir. But
Mr. McGirt, that's fine. That's fine, Mr. McGirt.
I said I was going to shake your hand, sir.
Why the hesitation, Mr. McGirt?
Because you've been very aggressive, sir.
I've been a victim, Mr. McGirt.
Sir, we have met with you.
I have suffered a great deal, Mr. McGirt.
And we have worked on your case.
And I have begged for help. I have begged to meet with you, and it's been all this time later.
Sir, that's
and this
not
is
true.
The way I'm being treated.
That's not
there's,
true,
two, there's a sheriff department who doesn't want to help me.
That's not
a
true.
Sheriff's deputy who doesn't
that's
want to
not
help
true,
me.
Mr. Curry.
The
we
chief
have
of
worked,
police
have
at Rose Hill doesn't
we
want
have
to help me.
You, sir.
Ms. Webster isn't willing to answer any questions.
That's not true. We have worked with you. We have met
she
with
can't
you
recall.
Four times for hours. We have talked about the prison fund. We have
Mr. McGirt, you know
you.
This isn't right.
Sir, we have done. What are you talking about?
You know this isn't right.
Sir, we have given you plenty of options to talk. We've listened to you. We've gone through the case. I've answered questions.
Sorry for taking up so much of your time today.
Sir, you didn't need to apologize. We were happy to be. I came all the way over here to meet you.
Mr. Tindall, are you willing to defend my life if something adverse were to
yes,
occur
sir,
out?
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gutt. Please be here on the week that we told you, the 29th, for that case.
What time, sir?
9:30.
What time, sir?
9:30. Okay. July 29th, 2024.
And I'm supposed to give my victim impact statement then?
You can say anything you want.
Is it even worth it to go?
Sir, you are given the opportunity to talk to the judge. It's in the court's discretion.
I'm just trying to be progressive and forward thinking in these concerns.
Sir,
is it even worth it to show up if the case is demonstrating as it is to you?
Sir,
that it's going to be in the best interest
you
of
should,
the defendant.
The court will want to hear from the victim, okay? It's your choice whether you come or not. We have told you about it. We have discussed that you can talk to the judge about the case, okay?
Thank you, Mr. McGirt.
Thank you, Mr. Curry. Have a good day, sir.
Where are you voting at?
You too, thank you.
Where are you voting at?
Right on the edge of the building. Are you
is
not parked there?
There?
I think.
You can
go straight out that
this way.
Oh, okay.
You part on Indiana building?
Yes, sir. I do need to drop off some documents first. Rose Hill Police Department, are you allowed to serve documents or no? Excuse me, sir. Would you be willing to fill out a law enforcement verification form?
A what again?
A law enforcement verification form.
I'm good, thanks.
Right. Do you know any officer who might be able to assist with that?
What you got? I got to get back to town. What you got to drop off right there? So
well, I need a law enforcement officer to fill out this verification form that I have. You're unwilling to do so. Can you explain?
explain why.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I don't know anything about that form, and I told you you could get it to our attorney and they would handle it.
You mind walking out the front with me? Come on, sir. I'm really concerned about going out this way.
Come on, sir. You said you were part of this end of the building, let's go.
Mr. Tindall, how long have you been the chief of the Roseville Police Department?
7 years.
7 years? Who was the chief before you? Mr. O'Connell, how is he doing? He's doing all right? That's good. Is there a reason why everybody left who was here in 2021? Where's Mr. Morrison?
Mr. Morrison? Yep, sure, you're back at the sheriff's office.
Oh. And you're returning to Rose Hill? Could you remind me of the first name of the young lady who works in your office? Starts with a K, I believe. Karen Velasquez? Is that her? She's a real good girl. I'm thinking about joining the force. You think I'd be accepted?
You?
Yeah.
But you gotta be able to pass the physical part of it first.
I can work through the pain. I think I want it enough.
Where you part at,
sir? Right here, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming out.
Yes, sir.
Extension on it. Exactly for my friends. I can handle my opponents. Bars got